Did I say Ephesians 3 and 17? Amen. Let's just bow our heads for another quick word of prayer. And Lord, how we thank you and how we bless you for this place, South Bay Abundant Life Church. Thank you for the love that comes from you and comes through us to each other. We bless you for that, Lord. We don't even take it for granted, but we embrace it. And it's a joy to share the love of Christ with others, especially our family. Thank you for your word now, Lord. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, with so much going on, thank you for your word that it illuminates the way, shows us what to do, where to go, even tells us how to think, how to speak, Lord. Without your word, we would be lost. So we thank you for your word as it guides us. Let us embrace your word. Let us live your word. Let us share your word. Let us walk in your word. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a few things I want to share. So we talk about finishing the year strong. The next couple of weeks, still want to encourage you to wake up and pray and fast daily. Amen. Proverbs, make sure you get into your Proverbs daily. If you don't know where to start studying, at least start with the Proverbs. Today being the 13th, at some point today, if you haven't already, you should read Proverbs 13. Hopefully you woke up this morning and you were praying and fasting before you came here. Amen. So just want to keep that on the front of your mind. Stay close to God. Finish the year strong. Amen. Amen. So here we go. Ephesians 3 and 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Should have that highlighted, should have it underlined, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that you be established in your foundation, be love. We talked about what love was and what love is and what it isn't. So we talked about love. We talked about how it's not rude. It's not arrogant. It doesn't rejoice in sin. It's patient. It's kind. It believes all things. It bears all things. It endures all things. And how love never fails. That's the love of God. So Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus and saying that we should be rooted and grounded at love, in love. Why? Look at verse 18. So you can understand the love of God and how God loves, and that we can pattern ourselves after God's love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. Underline that you are a saint. We're not angels, we're saints. What makes us saint? We're not saints because of what we've done. We're saints because of what God has done. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, which sanctified us and set us apart. So he's praying for us as saints. Yes, you are a saint. Before you accepted Jesus Christ, you were a sinner. But since you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you are now a saint. Amen? Amen. So that you can understand with all the saints, not just here at South Bay, but all those who've accepted Christ, that you can understand what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You got to understand and to know the love of Christ, how wide it reaches, how long it is, how deep. You can't go, you can't sink deep enough where the love of Christ can't reach you and pull you up. And you can't get so high and so lifted up that it can't pull you back down to earth. You can't even understand how far and wide it reaches to grab you and to bring you back in. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, it passes all knowledge. You can't understand how much God loves you. Isn't that, so that's his prayer, that This is a prayer that Paul said you could understand how much God loves you, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So through the Holy Spirit, that you can, all that God has put in you, you can live that, that empowers you to live a Christian life. You can be filled with all the fullness of God. That's love. That's God's love. It empowers us. God doesn't just tell us to do something and then doesn't give us the ability to do it. When he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, he gives us the power to do that. See, we can't get away from it. I don't want to love my neighbor. Then he says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. So I can't get away from that either. And if we want to escape, and then Christ said that you got to even love your enemy. So now you got to love everybody. You got to love everybody, your neighbor, your wife, your enemies. And then he gives us the power to do it. And we understand, when we understand how God's love is towards us, then it's easy to share that love towards somebody else. Let me show you. Let me make it a little more plainer. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. See if I could just break it down a little further. Look at Romans 8 and 31. I'm trying to get to a scripture, but you know, I always got to set it up with before I get there. What should we, Romans 8 and 31, if you're there, say amen. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? All right, somebody highlight that. Stop complaining about what people are doing and what people are saying. If you understand, number one, you got to understand the love of God, how wide and how far it reaches. It doesn't matter what people are saying. It doesn't matter what people are doing. We serve the God of all creation. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter. And look at his love in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Think about that. Again, how many of us have kids? All right. How many of you ever seen a kid? Okay. All right. But then let's break it down. How many of us have a son? And look what God said. He that spared not his own. Who's willing to give up their son so that somebody else's son can live? He's saying, if I did all that, how am I not ready to give you anything else that you might ask? I mean, just think about that. Boy, that's a tough one. But this is the love of God. That's why I said Paul is saying you have to understand the love of God and how deep and how wide and how far and how high it goes. And if you can tap into that and you can live that type of love towards each other, for yourself. Who should lay anything, verse 33, who should lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? So make a note in verse 33. Is God who's made us right? He said, nobody can charge you anything, can say anything about you concerning your life, concerning the sin in your life, because when you're in Christ, God has made you right. In Christ. Nobody can fight against God. If God is for you, who can be against you? God's made us right through Jesus Christ and not of ourselves. Now, if you don't have Christ in your life and you're trying to make it right on your own, then that's a problem. And you do have to deal with some things. But God has justified us, which means God has put us in right standing. God has made us righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the atonement that we have for our sins. And that's only through receiving the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Everybody can't say that. Some people don't want the free gift. Again, it's Christmas time. You might try and give somebody a gift. They say, no, thank you. They don't want it. You can't make them take it. You give it to them, they'll throw it in the trash as soon as you walk out the door. They didn't want it. And God is saying he's given us the free gift. Either you want it or you don't. God's not going to force it on you. But if you don't have the free gift of Jesus Christ, you have no atonement for your sins. And God will judge you according to your sins, not justify you according to the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not in right standing if you don't have Christ in your heart. That's what the scripture's saying. And God so loved us that he gave us Christ so that we could get back right with him. And either we accept that gift or we don't. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Who condemns you? Look at Romans 8 and 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you are in Christ Jesus, no one can condemn you because you're justified by God. Say, justified means just as it never happened. When you are in Christ Jesus, if you were to ask God, what was the last sin I committed, as if God was keeping score? God's not keeping score, but if you and I, if we were, God, what was the last sin I committed? God would say, I don't remember. It's just as it never happened. That's justified, made right through the blood, because it's not about works. We couldn't work for this thing. We can't work for it. Some people think they can. They don't understand the grace of God. They don't understand the free gift of God. It's not what you work for. It's who you accept into your heart and allow to work through you. All right. Keep your finger on Romans 8 and take a look at John 3. One of the most popular scriptures in the word is John 3:16. We know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. We got that right. It's a gift he gave. You have to believe. That word believe means to commit, to trust. So it's not just say, okay, I believe and walk away. No, but I'm going to commit my life to Christ. I'm going to trust in him, and I'm accepting him into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. But here's the scripture I want to get to, verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to what? To condemn the world. Who condemns? Not God. So why are you condemning yourself? Why are you being so hard on yourself? If God is not condemning you, why are you condemning yourself? For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be rescued, might be saved. It's the whole idea. God's not out to get us. He's not out condemning us. Stop condemning yourself. Confess, forsake. As Jesus would say, go and sin no more. Stop letting condemnation and guilt and shame stop you from being all that you can be in God. You don't understand the love of God. You don't know how wide and how deep and how far and how high it goes. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here's the condemnation. This is the problem. Verse 19. That light has come into the world, but we, that men, that means mankind, love darkness. Right? That's the problem. That's why I don't want to confess and forsake. That's why I don't want to go and sin no more, because I love darkness rather than light, because their deeds, our deeds were evil. Look at verse 20. For everyone that does evil, they hate light. We talked about it before. Those of us who grew up with roaches. We talked about it before, because when you cut on a light, boy, they got to get out of there. They can't stay. They can't stay. That's what God is saying, that you cut on the light and I got to get out of here. Here they come talking that Jesus stuff. Oh, here they come. They love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Nobody wants to hear about it when they want to stay in their sin and stay where they are. Verse 20, for everyone that does evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be what? Exposed. Nobody wants to be exposed. But here's the good news. Verse 21, but he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest that they are based in God. So when you're doing right, there's really nothing to hide. God just says, come clean. I know we have some teachers in here. I work with students as well. And I tell my students all the time, if you do the right things, then you don't have to lie about doing the wrong things. What am I lying for? If I'm doing right, I want it to be manifest. I want it to be exposed, the right things that I'm doing. When I'm walking in light, I want people to see that. I want to share. So walking in light, there's nothing to expose. I'm going to tell on you. Well, tell. There's nothing to tell. I'm walking in the light. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm living right. That's what he's saying right here. God's not condemning us. God is saying, walk in the light. Let everything come clean. So what? There's nothing to expose because you've already shared your testimony. There's nothing to expose because you're not living in sin. Come clean. You want to be in the light. You want them to see the light of your life because Jesus also tells us in John that when you let your light shine, then people glorify God. It's attractive. All right, let's go back to Romans 8 and 34. Who is he that condemns? So we understand it's not God that condemns. So when someone's trying to condemn you, are you trying to condemn yourself? No, that's just the enemy speaking. We know that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your hopes and your dreams. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to condemn you and make you think that it's you. He wants to make you feel guilty because you made a mistake. And then he wants to take you to shame. Shame is not that I made a mistake. Shame is that I am the mistake. And he's the one that condemns. It's not God. So you resist and rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And look at verse 34. It gets to the good news. Is it Christ that died? Oh, don't make that mistake. No, he died. But yeah, it's rather that he's risen again. So make a note that he's not dead. He's risen again. And he's at the right hand of God who also makes intercessions for us. Make a note that God is praying for you. That's why I said, who is it that condemns? God doesn't condemn us. Matter of fact, God is cheering for you. God is saying you can do it. You can make it. Amen. He's, I'm praying that you will make it. I'm praying that you will see how much I love you, how much I care about you. I'm praying that you will see it. I'm praying that you will walk with me. I'm praying that you'll get close to me. I'm praying for you right now that you'll get through that situation. Why? Look at verse 28. Romans 8, 28. Don't you love it? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He said, I'm praying that you get through because it's working for good. What does that mean? It's working for good. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Oh, so that's the good that is. So God is saying everything that you're going through is going to work out for good. Why? Because it's going to make you look more like Jesus. As tough as it is, as high as it gets, as low as it gets, it's all working together for good. How does it work? It's bringing you to look like Jesus. It's not saying you get in the house, you get in the car, all things work together. I'm going to get my house back. He ain't saying all that. It's saying you might lose some stuff. You might have to get rid of some folks. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. But everything is working and it's making you look more like Jesus. Right where you need to be. It's not separating you from the love of God. It's pushing you closer to God if you allow it to. And when you come out, guess what? You're going to look just like Jesus. Conforming you to his image. Remember, God is not trying to improve us. He's trying to replace us. Replace us with Jesus. So when people look at you, they don't say, that's John, that's Maria, that's Tracy, that's Chris. They say, oh, that looks like Jesus. He's trying to replace you. That's the miracle of salvation and regeneration. Amen. But Sister Washington, whoa, that would be something, wouldn't it? That would be something. Yes, that's what God wants to see. And that's what Jesus is praying for. He wants you to know that all things work together for good. So look at verse 29 again. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine. So he said he has a plan for us. And that plan is to be conformed to the image of his son. Since we don't know, well, we knew God knows everything and he's predestined, but we don't know exactly who that is. That's why we share Christ with everyone. Because of some people who God has called and predestined, and they're living below what God has called them to live. And sometimes they need someone to come and remind them that we should be here making disciples and building the kingdom of God, not going after stuff. And since we don't know who that is, that's why we share Christ with everyone. And that Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He was the first one, and now we all come after him into God's family through Jesus Christ. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. So God has a plan for your life, and that call means that he invited. And he invited and made us right. And for whom he justified, them he also glorified, which means he celebrated. It's another translation for glorified. God is celebrating you. That's why he's praying for you and I. He's made something special here. Look at the miracle of creation, how God created everything, and then how God made us new. In his great scheme of things, he created the whole world and he made us new creatures too. He celebrates that. Breaks God's heart when we live beneath what he's called us and how he's called us to live. Because we don't have to. Okay, so let's get back to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yeah, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercessions for us. And then we get to where I was trying to go. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Here we go again. That's what Paul was saying also in Ephesians. What can separate us from the love of God? And here we go. He repeats it. He reiterates it in 35. Shall tribulation, our distress, our persecution, our famine, our nakedness, our pearl, or the sword. I'm saying none of that. The stuff, look at all the stuff you might have to go through. If you haven't already been there, probably buckle up because you're probably going there. It's part of the ride. No one wants to preach about this, but it's part of the journey. He said, whatever you go through, make a note, those of you taking notes, that nothing you go through can separate you from God. So whatever you go through, don't allow it to pull you away from God. Allow it to push you towards God. It can't separate you. You can separate yourself from God, but nothing that you go through can. You have to allow it to separate you from God. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Underline the love of Christ. Nothing can. That's how much God loves us. And that's how we talked about going into this new year, how he filled us with his Holy Spirit, and then he sealed us with a down payment. Can't nothing take away that seal that's on you from having Christ in your heart. Nothing. Yes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We got to understand how much he loves us. And when we go through things, it's just part of the process. What process? To make you look more like Jesus. Stop fighting against what God is doing. He's trying to mold you. He's trying to shape you. He's trying to form you. And you're fighting it. Stop fighting it. And then you go through some stuff and you just divorce God. You get away from God. I don't want to have nothing to do with you. Irreconcilable differences. This thing ain't working out. And God is saying, I'm trying to make you look like me. You're getting upset with your family and your friends and your co-workers and your boss and your church folks and your pastor and the youth. And you're upset with everybody, your parents. And God is saying, cut it out. I'm trying to make you look like me. Remember, if we're still getting upset with people, we have a lot of maturing to do. God is using circumstances and situations so you and I can look like him. And in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. We've got to go through some stuff. Paul is writing this letter to the Romans, and the same time the Romans are feeding the Christians to the lions. And Paul is saying, he quotes the scripture all day long. You Christians in Rome, you might be one of the ones that's eaten by a lion. In 2 Timothy, Paul says, by the grace of God, he escaped the mouth of the lion. Let's see. Look at 2 Timothy. I mean, understand when he's writing this thing. 2 Timothy, he's in prison. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Let me find it. 2 Timothy, I believe, is chapter 4. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. So let me set up. Paul he's in prison right here. He's already been beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked, bitten by a snake, a viper. He tells us all things work together for good. He's been through all that and is making him look more like Jesus. He's writing this letter. He's in prison. And he didn't let that separate him from the love of God. He's showing you can't go anywhere where God won't show you that he loves you. Here's Paul saying, verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. Somebody say amen. He's in prison. He talks about how everybody, a lot of guys, well look at, let's start at verse 9. All right, I'm trying to skip. I got ADD when it comes to studying, all right? He's telling Timothy, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Come visit me in prison, please. Says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He sold me out. Demas sold me out. When it got tough, he went over to the world in Rome. He sold me out. He was more interested in his bank account and all this other kind of stuff than God. So Demas forsaken me, having loved this present world, has departed unto Thessalonica, Serenus to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia, something like that, all right? Dalmatia, yes. That place. Verse 11, he said, only Luke is with me. That's something. You talk about some power. You got Paul, you got Luke, you got Peter. These guys are going out. Paul is in prison. Luke is there visiting Timothy. They come. Then Timothy gets arrested. He comes to visit Paul in prison and he gets arrested. I mean, they're dealing with some stuff, but it doesn't separate them from the love of God. Verse 12, and Tychius have I sent to Ephesus, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did much evil, stabbed me in the back. The Lord reward him according to his works. So I saw you. And when somebody stabs you in the back, you just pray, Lord, reward them according to their works. You ain't got to go and try and get somebody and get after them and have some get back and retaliate. Lord, reward them according to their works. But look what he says in verse 15, of whom be thou aware also, for he had greatly withstood our words. He is the opposite of what we're preaching. Stab me in the back, speaking against God. Lord, reward him according to his works. That's all. And you out of it. Leave it alone. Verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Come on now. Sometimes you got to stand alone when you take a stand for God. Yeah. And then you pray. I pray that it may not be laid to their charge. OK, and here where I was trying to go, verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. Somebody underline that. One person with the Lord is a majority. One person with the Lord is a majority. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. See, that's what it's about. Underline, it's about the word of God being fully known. And that all the Gentiles, that's you and I, might hear. Somebody say, thank God that Paul didn't stop preaching the gospel. And look what is, and look at, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So he didn't get fed to the lions. Going back to verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Going back to Romans 8. And then shortly after that, Paul was beheaded because he wouldn't stop talking about the gospel. But he said he escaped the mouth of the lions. He's going through all kind of stuff, but he says nothing's going to separate us from the love of God. One of my favorite movies is The Lion King. But I sure don't want to be fed to a lion. Somebody say amen. Hakuna Matata. Paul is saying, what's going to separate us? We're counted like sheep for the slaughter. We're being, verse 36, all day long. But it's for Christ's sakes we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. We're being fed to lions. They're beheading us. Oh, but verse 37, no and nay and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Underline is through him who loved us. That's the difference. Paul is saying, I'm so confident in verse 30. This is where I was trying to go. I was just trying to get here. But he says, for I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. So when we transition, we pass away, we go right to the presence of God. The life that you're living now, as good as it might be, as great as it might be, as crazy as it might be, it can't separate you from the love of God. Angels, demons, no powers, nor things present, what you're going through now, or anything that comes, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, no creature, man, woman, beast, can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can do it, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Go back. Now let's go back to Ephesians 3. Don't allow anything to separate you from God. Only thing can separate you from God is you turning away from God. God's trying to make you look more like him. And that's why Paul, look at Ephesians 3 and 17 again. That's why Paul is praying this whole prayer, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, because you have no idea how much God loves you. And once you accept Christ, nothing can separate you from Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. And then get rooted and grounded, get established, and have your foundation be in love. And then you try and be able to comprehend with all the saints, all of us who've accepted Christ, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You can't even understand it. God, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, doesn't make any sense how much God loves us. No, we all of us have that need to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved. And God is saying right here that the love of Christ passes all. You don't have to even guess if God loves you. It passes all knowledge. But it comes with that first step of you allowing Christ to dwell in your heart by faith. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Allow God to work throughout you always. Don't allow anything to separate you from being filled with all the fullness of God. And then here's the end of the prayer. And you should have this highlighted. This is another one I want you to add to your list. And when you're waking up and you're praying and fasting and you're seeking God, verse 20, Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. See, highlight that. Wake up praying that. According to the power that works in us, which is his Holy Spirit. He's already put everything in us that we need to live for him, to live like him, to be conformed to his image. We have to stay close to him. Stay close to him. Then Paul ends the prayer, "Unto him be glory in the church." He's talking to believers. Somebody say amen. Amen. We give God the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, because it's only because of Jesus that we have that life and we have it more abundantly. It says throughout all ages, the world without end, his kingdom will never end. And somebody say, amen. Amen. So he talks about the wealth of the believer. And then look at verse four, chapter 4:1. Now he talks about the walk. So how, since I have this love, since I know about this love, how do I live this thing out? How do I work this thing out? He said, how do I present myself? I know God loves me. I'm going through everything. My successes, my failures, my highs, my lows. I'm interacting with people. So he talks about the wealth, and then he talks about the walk. 4:1. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." "I'm begging you that you walk worthy of the vocation, that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called." Make a highlight of verse 2. "With all lowliness and meekness." Said, be humble. He didn't say be weak. He said, be meek. Meek is power under control. That's what meekness is. I have all this power, but I keep it under control. That's not weakness. Said, be weak. And don't be the opposite, where you're so far out of control that you have no control. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing, being patient with each other, in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Verse 4, "There's one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. There's not many gods. There's one true God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all." And the rest we got to pick up next week. If you would, just bow your heads quickly and we'll close in prayer. And as we're praying, I just want you to think about what the word said and how much God loves and cares about you and I. Let it just sink into your heart, and then think about all your issues. The minor ones, the major ones. I want you to then cast all your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Don't let those things separate you from God. Don't let those things keep you from God. God loves us more than the stuff that we're caught up into. God loves us more than the stuff that's trying to keep us from him. Paul is saying, I want you to understand, you have to understand, that everything that you and I are going through, God help us, everything that we're going through, the successes, even the successes, sometimes you can go through success, but God is saying, even in your success, I need you to look more like me. It's not always bad. It's not always tough. But in the good times, we can't forget about God either. God is saying all the stuff that you're going through, the success, your failures, your highs, your lows. Don't fight against it. It's helping you to look like me. Walk with humbleness and meekness. And allow yourself to be molded to look like Christ. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. Maybe it's someone here saying, Pastor, I've never accepted. And my first step is to allow Christ to dwell in my heart through faith. I believe I got to commit and trust. I've never done that. I can't even tap into the power of God because I don't have him inside of me. And I need to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God rose Jesus from the dead. If you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. That's the first step. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I just kind of been out there. I've been letting stuff separate me from the love of God. I didn't understand how much God loves me. I thought God was punishing me with all this stuff. But I really see he's really trying to prepare me and to mold me to look like him. I need to rededicate. I need to allow this stuff to push me closer to God and not take me further from God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you're hearing you saying, Pastor, I've been visiting. I'm looking for a church home and God's leading me here. If that's you, we'd love to be your church family. We're not members here. We're actually family. We're more than a church members. We family. Through the ups, the downs, the goods and the bad, we are family in Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. You're looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you. I'm going to ask my sister Sheila to come up and want to pray for her and thank God for her, what he's doing in her life. Stand right here, Sister Sheila. What a blessing. I'm going to ask my family, you know how we do it here. We never just leave someone here by themselves. We cover and we pray for them. We surround them. And we thank God for them. We have your back and we don't have a knife in our hand. Covering you with prayer. Thanking God for you. Thanking God for the rededication. Thanking God for the prompting of the Holy Spirit which led you here today. And you already know why, Sister Sheila. What a blessing. Lord, how we thank you for our sister, Lord. Thank you for all those who are here. Thank you that she got up and just said, Lord, I just rededicating my life to you. Yes. Not that I was way out anywhere, but God, I know I can tighten it up and I'm here. Yes. Thank you for her life. Thank you for her kids, her grandkids, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing. Thank you for the giant that's inside of her, Lord. That you raised up, Lord, and you've called to do great things. So we bless you now for her life, Lord. We thank you that your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for that you don't condemn us, that you're actually cheering for us. You're celebrating us and you're telling us, allow it to make you look like Jesus. Allow it to have you walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to live like Jesus. Everything that you're going through, I'm just trying to make you into who you are, who I created you to be. Don't fight it. Embrace it and watch what I do in your life. Oh God, we thank you for today. What a celebration, Lord. We're not waiting for the new year, Lord. Today is a day of salvation. Now is accepted time. We hear your voice. We're not going to harden our heart. Thank you for her life. Thank you for the ministry that's inside of her. Thank you for the gifts and the talents. Pray, Lord, that you use them to make disciples and build your kingdom here on earth.
Thank you, Jesus.
We cover her now. We bless her life now, her family. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Give someone a hug. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, give someone a hug. You are dismissed. Hey, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
You all gonna see mama today?
Hey,
brother Raymond.
Hey,
hey, buddy Gene. You didn't make it this morning?
Yeah, because his brother dropped off his kids yesterday. So
okay.
Pick him up at 6 this morning. Said he's working overtime.
Got you, got you.
So
okay. Okay, okay. All right. Hey, look, Raymond.